show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm going to try not to lean on the table because it makes my camera shake. Welcome.
Always a good idea.
Yeah, I know. Try not to make the camera shake. That's not very good for the whole video quality thing. So if you're watching on YouTube or watching later at youtube.com/RoyalManReport, this is the new Kansas City Baseball Vault via Google Hangouts. And down there in the bottom bar is Jeff Herr, Mike Engel, and of course myself, Troy Olson. We are the guys you formerly knew as the Royal Man Report. Mike, of course, is the head of Kings of Kauffman, and Jeff Herr is heading up all operations of Echo Sports Report. So the blogosphere is well represented here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. This week hasn't been too exciting. I mean, really, it's that time of year, you know, when baseball gets a little harder to really find something to talk about. Last week was kind of nice because we had those sweeps with the Tigers and White Sox and what have you. And coming off of Saturday or Sunday of September, and we were able to talk about the great August that they had. Royals started out 3-5 to open September, and not quite the way you wanted to start. They did get the Rangers in town, and frankly, the Rangers are really good.
Yep. That's a tough team. They're good pitching, and they're one of the best home run hitting teams in baseball. And they hit, what, 5 in that first game of that series in Kauffman? It's not even fair. Like, it's just not fair. We got to investigate that whole team because that's all they do is they hit homers.
I was at the game on Wednesday night with my dad and my mom, and I was talking to my dad, and I was like, man, this is just the Rangers. It's just not fair. I mean, they made a trade five, 6 years ago, whatever it was, for Mark Teixeira, and they got, you know, I can't remember who all they got back, Nelson Cruz and
Elvis Andrus, Neftali Feliz.
All those guys that they got in that trade, and they made a couple other trades, and then, oh, by the way, had this weird concept of developing solid players and pitching, and it's not even fair. It's not. Their roster, I mean, just looking at that lineup, it's entirely stacked, and their pitching is, I don't know. It's completely right. It's not fair. They're a really good team. But if there is a positive to be taken, even in the losses they've had, they were still competitive, the Royals. I mean, we're still, you know, I mean, they didn't get blown out. There was no, like, 10-1 or 10-2 losses like you might see. You know, they lost, like, 7-6. They've gone into extra innings. Their worst loss, I think, was it 6-3 or something?
8-4. First game, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a good loss, but, you know, sometimes that happens even to good teams. But, yeah, the rest of the series, they were competitive. So I guess if there's a bright side to any of it, it's that, I suppose.
Moral victories are the best.
Yeah, there's a lot of moral victories.
They did win one game, right? So that was a true victory.
We're 162 when it comes to moral victories.
I love the Royals. They're so good.
Also from last week, we talked about people leaving Kansas City. Kevin Goldstein was one we talked about. Others you can hear us talk about are Josh Looney and Kent Babb. And I had mentioned that I doubt Goldstein would probably ever hear what we said. Well, I did mention and the Up and In group on Facebook, which is still open and will continue to be open even though the podcast is stopping. It's a great baseball community. Just search Up and In on Facebook and you can find it. But I mentioned on there that we said our goodbyes to Kevin Goldstein on there, and he sent me a private message and he said, link me, because I had said it before I had posted the show. And as soon as I posted the show, I sent him a link and told him, you know, check out the 51-minute mark. And he listened, and he was very grateful. So that was kind of cool. So just shows you the kind of person he is. And I just hope him – I hope he has an absolutely wonderful career, be it in Houston or anywhere else. And maybe someday he could be GM of the Royals.
Wouldn't that be
like the greatest thing ever, though?
That's a lot of want there, Troy.
That's a lot of want. In other news, non-Royals news, we want to send out our prayers and good wishes for Brandon McCarthy and his wife. Wow, I honestly haven't watched the video because after seeing some of the aftermath of it, I don't want to see him get hit in the head by a baseball.
Yeah, I watched it, and it is really scary. Like, it just kind of looks like it glances off, but the reaction that he has while he's on the ground, like, it's really disturbing. And it's a good thing. Like, there was a doctor that said that, yeah, if they didn't treat it properly or quickly enough, it could have been a fatal shot. Just really scary. And it looks like he's going to have a complete recovery. He's obviously out for the year. But you know, fractured skull, and there was some bleeding and some pressure and whatnot. So, you know, good to see him recover, and yeah, obviously best wishes for a guy who's going to be a free agent next year. So, you know, hopefully he's able to stay in baseball shape. I saw a quote that he can't do conditioning, he can't do any kind of real exercise until it fully heals. So I don't know how long that's going to keep him out of commission, but hopefully for his sake it's quick.
I had restarted my computer before this and closed the window, but Brandon McCarthy and his wife are both very active Twitter folks, and you know us, we love the Twitter, and his wife has been replying to people from his account and thanking him, and she's been very grateful for everything. Somebody sent in a picture of the Giants posted on their big screen that said, everybody from the Giants wishes the A's, Brandon McCarthy, all the best. And she's been kind of grieving through this process, or dealing with this process, however you want to look at it, by Twitter. And I found it here. I did actually send her a tweet earlier, and somebody retweeted it, so it popped up. It's at Mrs_McCarthy32. Check her feed out. I mean, it's a great way to see insight to somebody that is in the limelight and having that kind of situation, and I really feel for her. And obviously they're folks that have money and they're having the best medical care, so everything should work out fine. But head injuries are scary, and you never ever know what could happen. You know, it's a reality that depending on how he comes out of this, that, you know, his baseball career may be done. He may not be able to sign as a free agent. And I'm glad you mentioned that he was going to be a free agent, because I know Kansas City fans, or a lot of us, were very interested in McCarthy and what he did the rest of the year, because a lot of KC fans want the Royals to go out and go after Brandon McCarthy to help solidify a one, you know, somebody that could be a one or a two for this team. Not necessarily a one or two in baseball, but a one or a two for this team, because he was our kind of baseball player. Good guy, fun on Twitter. He had Kansas City's back on the Boo Cano thing, so it was. I know there's a lot of people in Kansas City that are really paying attention to this situation. So we hope them the best, and we'll hope for them the best, and we'll move on from there.
I'm glad you mentioned the possibility of the not being able to return. There was a player, Herb Score was his name, and you know, he was a rising star. He was Rookie of the Year. He was an All Star. He was, you know, MVP candidate. And he got hit in the face with the line drive, and he was never the same. Like, I've read interviews.
We have got to get Mike a better internet connection in Lawrence.
Is he back?
He's frozen.
Oh, I'm frozen?
You're back now. We got to get you a better internet.
That was a sweet derp face, Mike.
Yeah, we might have to go back and grab that derp face. That was pretty good. Anyways, back to what you were saying about the possibility of him never playing again.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll play again, but it's, you know, every pitch he throws, every time the batter swings, maybe there's a little bit of a flinch. You know, how much is that going to affect him mentally?
Yeah, how much does he take off his pitches?
It's like, and you go by that idea that these aren't just stat-creating robots. I mean, they're people, and, you know, that's going to be in the back of his mind, and he's got a family, and he's got all that, and, you know, I don't know. Herb Skorb never really rebounded. He had a couple of good years, but, you know, he could have been a guy who would have been, you know, Cy Young candidate every year, and he was just never the same.
Well, and with that, we will get back into the Royals news here, and we're going to go to Michael Engel, president, CEO, and rather good guy from Kings of Kauffman. He's going to take us around
the
horn.
That's what it says.
What's that?
It says that on the site. It says rather good guy on the site, actually.
Get that.
That's the official title.
Please.
Yeah, that would be awesome. A lot of the minor league teams are just out of it right now. Northwest Arkansas and a couple others have just, you know, their season ended. They didn't make the playoffs. Some of the teams did, though. Burlington is the rookie-level affiliate for the Royals, and they were in the championship. And it was a three-game series against Elizabethtown, and all three games went into extra innings. In the third and final game, they were in the bottom of the ninth. They had a 6-1 lead, ended up putting some runners on, gave up one run. I think they walked it in. Then there was a wild pitch that scored another, and they gave up a three-run homer. So they gave they blew a five-run lead with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And then two innings later, they gave up a walk-off grand slam and ended up losing the series, which is really devastating.
Another Royals affiliate.
Right, yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because you know somebody's thinking that listening to this right now.
And that was his first taste of playoff baseball, and so I mean, I don't know what you do about that. It's very possible.
I mean, but let's overcome death today.
I mean, they had what?
I said, what has gotten into Jeff today? He is all sorts of fiery.
Well, he's a Royals fan, and it's September.
And when we talk about the Rangers and seeing them come to town and the Rays a couple weeks ago and seeing the Nationals with the best record in the league, all teams in similar situations.
Orioles are going for first place.
Orioles, same deal. They're tied with the Yankees, or at least they were a few days ago. And it's just like I think it starts to wear on everybody, but it just gets frustrating when so many teams that are in similar situations can make it happen and the Royals just can't.
All right, let's move to the next level. Idaho Falls, their season ended on Thursday. That last game was pitched by John Lamb, who got 13 innings of work in rehab after his Tommy John surgery, so that's a good thing. His last start wasn't so great. He threw 3.1 innings, gave up 7 hits and 6 runs. So, you know, you never know what they're exactly working on. Maybe he's trying to just keep the same command and somebody keyed on that. It wasn't a good outing, but the most important thing is that he's back on the mound. He looks like he's going to be okay. I think they're going to have him work a lot in instructional leagues this winter. He's not going to be going to the Arizona Fall League, but he should get some time to work. And then, you know, hopefully next year he can pick right up in AA, and by the end of the year, maybe be in Omaha. You know, that's kind of the hope. It's been a slower recovery because he's had some ankle complications as well. So while he's trying to work on getting his arm strength back, he messed up a tendon in his ankle, and it delayed him getting back on the mound by a month. The other Wilmington, the Blue Rocks, they went into the Carolina League playoffs. Unfortunately, they've been eliminated. They lost to Lynchburg last night. and it took them out. The one game that they did win in that series was pitched by Jason Adam. He threw another seven innings. It seems like the last 2 months, that's all he's done is go out there and give them seven innings. So somebody who's really excited, and obviously he's a friend of our show, and we like talking to him all the time. And the big minor league team, Omaha Storm Chasers, they are up 2-1 in their playoff series against Albuquerque as they look to defend the Pacific Coast League championship. Will Myers hit a homer in the first game of that series. I think it was a three-run homer. So, you know, they're looking like they're going to repeat, or at least they're going to get into the next series. And, you know, on another note, Will Myers, Bubba Starling, Kyle Zimmer, and Jake Odorizzi were all named four of MLB.com's top 100 prospects. Will Myers came in fourth, and there's a very good chance he could start the year number one or number two. It just depends on what the Orioles do with Dylan Bundy, because number one is Jurickson Profar, who we saw a little bit in the Rangers series, who they called up, and Manny Machado, who I think his only good games were against the Royals since the Orioles called him up, at least at the plate. So that's another guy who's kind of in the way for that. But, you know, fourth overall out of the top 100, that's not too bad for Will Myers.
Mike, what's the – I always forget. I mean, there's some sort of limitation on even being considered a prospect. Like, if you, I think it's 150 major league at-bats. Is that right? And then there's a certain amount of innings, like 50 innings pitched or something maybe.
Yeah, I think they go by the same standards of if they would qualify for Rookie of the Year. And by that count, yeah, they could still count Profar and Machado and even Bundy if you were to get called up. Sometimes, though, when they make those rankings, they don't want to include somebody who's been called up already. So, I mean, it's a slim chance. And really, number one, number four, not a big difference. He's easily number one in our system.
And we know from players like Alex Gordon and Hosmer and the rest, I mean, doesn't mean shit anyway until they come up here and actually do something, you know, worth all that hype.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ranking. The one kind of thing that I've noticed from, like, MLB.com particularly, they're not – I don't want to say they're not as hardcore because Jonathan Mayo is an awesome guy in that field, but a lot of times – when they put their rankings up, they're a lot more focused on the recent. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you've got a draft pick that you signed, that guy's more likely to move up rather than last year's draft pick that signs, just because, you know, it's the new guy, it's exciting. And they do have in their top 10 both Donnie Joseph and J.C. Solbron, who we got from the Reds for Jonathan Broxton. So, you know, I don't know if those guys would be in my top 10, maybe my top 20. But that's how they have them ranked. So, at least by the Royals, top 20, which is, you know, just one of those things you have to kind of take into consideration. And there's going to be dozens of different prospect countdowns in the off season and leading up to the season. So, you know, you can take whichever one you respect the most and kind of live and die by that one. But yeah, you're right. They do have to perform once they get up to this level. And, you know, you've seen Alex Gordon. It took him a couple of years to get his feet under him. Now he's, you know, leading the Royals and he's moved to the three spot. He has been more of a run producer, which is very good to see. I think he's driven in 13 runs since moving to number three, and that was just a couple weeks. So, yeah, I mean, they still have to do something. Hosmer, at least, you know, I think he was at 228 not long ago. He's at least hitting 242 now. He's got a chance to at least get to 250. So, you know, it's a bad season, a lost season, but it's not a complete devastating season like it looked back in May.
To that point, you know, don't look now, but if he hustles, he could have a season at least in a couple areas. You know, not too far off from like a Bryce Harper. I mean, Bryce Harper right now is not lighting the world on fire. You know, I mean, Mike Trout has come up and just destroyed everything, but Bryce Harper is supposed to be the best thing, you know, best hitter since Babe Ruth or whoever. Is just kind of, he's struggling a little bit. You know, not quite as bad as Hosmer, but it's the point being here. I think, you know, even even the best, you know, can't miss whatever prospects are going to struggle a little bit. So it's obviously disconcerting, but it's not a lost cause for Hosmer, I should say.
Yeah. How dare you defame the great Bryce Harper?
What'd you say?
How dare you talk against the great Bryce Harper?
That's the voice of Trout speaking. Yeah, it's a good point because, you know, these guys are all young. And, yeah, Hosmer is older than Harper, but you know, they're still young players, and nobody's going to be writing off Bryce Harper just because he's having a struggle in the second half. But, you know, you look at Twitter, you look at what have you, and a lot of people ready to trade off Eric Hosmer for any number three starter they could get, or, you know, ready to just park him in Omaha for the rest of the year. And you know, maybe they should have done that early in the year, but at this point, you know, he is what he is. He's third on the team in stolen bases. He's looks like third on the team in home runs. You know, he's not doing that bad. He's not doing well, but he's not doing that bad. So, you know, you just kind of have to let it finish off this season, and then we'll see what happens next year. And hopefully whatever demons he had this season, he doesn't have next year. You know, I think they can look at a lot of tape and show him what pitch he needs to lay off of, and I think all of us know by watching that it's that down and away that he thinks he can hit, and he can put the bat on it, but he doesn't hit it with much authority a lot of the time. So that's kind of his leak.
It's to the point now where, I mean, you can watch on TV, and if it's a 1-2 count or an 0-2 count, I mean, you know exactly what's
coming. That's exactly where they're going with it, yeah.
He just can't lay off, you know? I mean, hopefully it is a situation where they can take him in the offseason and say, hey, listen, that's the pitch. Anytime you see that, just don't swing at it, you know? But, I mean, hopefully it doesn't develop into a sort of a Jeff Francoeur-type situation where no matter what you tell him, it just doesn't get through and he can't lay off certain bad pitches and turns into just something. I mean, I have a lot more faith in Hosmer than I do Jeff Francoeur, obviously, but, you know, players, some stuff like that just develops for one reason or another, and whatever you try and do, it just doesn't get through. I mean, you know, but I still see you see Hosmer's walk rate jumped up by 50% this year. So I mean, so at least so far, I guess it could increase or decrease from now. But I mean, I still like his approach at the plate, and I think he's still kind of refining it. So I have hope that his ability to lay off that pitch when appropriate will increase by next season. But we'll see.
Well, he does have more walks than Billy Butler. He's second on the team in walks, which is surprising. But yeah, he's willing to take a walk if it comes his way. It's just, you know, if he gets down 1-2, it's like you said, they're going for that bottom corner, and you know, he's chased it more than a dozen times. So I don't know. I hope he figures it out. I still believe there are some that maybe are jumping off the wagon, but you know, it's his second full season. It's his first full season. It's his second season in the big league. So, you know, it's the Royals' mantra that okay, let's take some more time, but you know, it just does take some more time.
I mean, he doesn't even have as many. He's played in more games, but he doesn't have as many plate appearances as he had last year. So, yeah. I mean,
that's weird.
It is weird. I was just looking at that. I had to double check to make sure it was right. But according to Fangraphs, anyway, unless there's some sort of a typo or something. But yeah, so I mean, we'll see what happens with the Wizard of Oz, as they say, and see if maybe he can pick some of that magic up next year. And hey, it'll be our time part two next year, right?
Our time part two.
I wonder if they'll carry over this Be a Royal thing that they're doing right now. Because you notice they buried our time. Have you not listened to the commercials?
To Be a Royal?
Yeah. They buried our time. It's all about To Be a Royal now. For whatever they're selling. During Hosmer bobblehead, it was To Be a Royal. You know, Eric Hosmer does this, 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 and this, and he knows what it takes to be a Royal.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You want to talk about a slogan that is just set up to just get smeared. I mean, to be a Royal, lose 100 games a year. To be a Royal, forget how swing at pigs is outside of the strike zone.
It might as well be a Twitter hashtag already.
I mean, it's going to be if they really go with this really hard.
It's not.
What?
I think that's this afternoon. I think we're going to do that.
Somebody get Chris on the phone. On that subject, and then I'm going to save that until we get back. Did you have anything else on Around the Horn?
No. Okay. No, we've turned all those corners. We have Hochevert ourselves.
All right.
We're done on that.
So we're going to take, for those of you listening on the podcast, we're going to take a quick break. Of course, if you're listening live, you don't have to put up with the breaks because I can't figure out how to edit them in yet through what we're doing, but that's coming, I assure you. But we'll be right back. We got a lot more Royals talk. We're not gonna do what we did to you last week and give you a swerve and start talking about people leaving town and then go into a 30-minute diatribe on why we love those folks. And then, but at the end of this, we will. Those of you watching live, you will get the Echo Sports Report right here on this show. Obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, we'll separate it out into another show. I left it in last week, but starting this week, we will cut it into its own show, so you won't have to, for those of you non-baseball fans, you won't have to listen to that if you don't want, and just search for the Echo Sports Report at echonetworks.com or echonetwork.com, and you'll be able to find that as well. So we'll be right back here in just a couple of minutes.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell him the Royal Man Report sent you.
And we're back. Welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault with Jeff Herr, Michael Engel, and Troy Olson, which you can find us live every Saturday. We kind of move our time around now. We're not real committed to a time, but we're aiming for Saturdays at noon. But just follow the KC Baseball Vault on Twitter, and we'll make sure we have all the updated times for you. But a little early start today with 11 o'clock because apparently Mike Engel's going to go watch the there's a football team in Lawrence. Nobody knew that.
You actually. No, I'm just going to the tailgate. I'm not going to the game.
I thought you said they had tickets for you at that too. So okay, well,
no, they
I could have gotten
tickets.
You free.
I'm just going to the tailgate.
I could have gotten you free tickets for the game, but that's a whole other
thing. I got too much going on today.
Busy life of the CEO and head editor of Kings of Kauffman. So there was a tweet that went out last week, and I grabbed onto it. And somebody said, Hochevert's pitching tonight. Man, I hope he can turn it around. Anybody else feel kind of dizzy when it comes to Hochevert?
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
That was my response.
Every time that somebody says something like that, I just hear the song Spin Me Right Round in my head, you know?
It is true. He's just not good.
It's a symptom, you know. It's a symptom of the disease that the Royals have and have had for the last 20 years, and that's just no accountability. They keep saying things like, I mean, Hochever, it's like you just said, Mike, he's not a good pitcher. You know, he's just not. And there's not, I mean, you know, sorry, but you wasted your number one overall pick. And while that sucks, you know, it just happens. But the really good teams are the ones that are able to figure that out and to move on instead of trotting them out there year after year, game after game, just like Kyle Davies. And it's just, you know, it's he turned the corner. He's going to, you know, he had one good start. And he's really starting to figure things out. And then it's like, oh, well, he did some things wrong, but we think we can correct it and all that stuff. No, you can't, you know.
Well, let me correct one thing you said. Let's not say that they wasted their pick, because any pick that makes it to the major leagues in baseball is not a wasted pick. Baseball is different than any other sport, folks. You can't go back and look at the draft and say, well, we should have had Lincecum, you know, because you go back through drafts and, like, Troy Tulowitzki was taken not even in the first round, I believe. You know, Pujols, because he was hard to sign the year before, fell all the way to the 16th round, I think. So the draft is a very fickle mistress. She, you know, he could have had Lincecum, but he's not even doing that well this year. You know, yeah, he would have been better than Hochever. And is it a wasted pick on Hochever? No. Is it an overvalued pick? Yes. And I actually talked to Professor Parks, Jason Parks, about that, and that's what he had said is no pick is ever wasted that makes it to the major leagues, no matter if you draft him at one.
Okay, so, I mean, bad word choice, but
it's a bad pick
as opposed to a wasted pick. You know, I mean,
it's time to move on.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know many other teams that would put, at this point, if the pick wasn't wasted, they're wasting time on him because he's not getting any better.
That's true.
He's shown it time and time again that he is what he is. And for whatever people that may hate that phrase, you know, he's not a good pitcher. He's the guy that's going to get that 4.8 to 5.1 ERA every year. He's going to show flashes of brilliance where he has a complete game shutout, and then he's going to go give up 7 runs in the first inning on your home opener the next day. So, you know, they need to it's gonna get me on a tangent again with the whole Royals.
The thing is, people want to talk about that Aaron Crow's a waste, and they talk about that Hochever's a waste. They're not waste. They just didn't, you know, they didn't pan out as good as you'd hoped.
Aaron Crow specifically is definitely not a waste, because not only did he make it to the majors, to your point that you were saying about Hochever, but also, you know, he may be a reliever, and we drafted him as a starter, but he's a damn good reliever.
People say you can't draft a reliever in the first round, and that's crap. If you get major league talent out of your draft, you have won. You've won your draft.
I'm with you there. I mean, that was a bad word choice for me saying wasted. So I'm with you there.
And that's why I corrected it. You know, I mean, all of us are good friends, and I would never, you know, throw us guys, you know, under the bus. But it's just because you hear that all the time. You know, the Royals waste draft picks left and right. They've got this guy, and he's only batting .220 in the major leagues. Well, the key to that is he's batting in the major leagues. You know, anybody that makes it to the major leagues is a successful draft pick. Anybody that is a decent utility or everyday player is a worthwhile draft pick. Now, Hochever needs to go. It's going to cost $5 million in arbitration to keep him next year, and I don't. I mean, obviously, it's not my money to spend, but I hope the Royals don't do that. So.
Yeah, what I want to see, Hochever's going to come up for arbitration. The Royals aren't obligated to offer a contract to him. You know, they can non-tender him, and once they do that, he's not part of the 40-man roster. You know, he's not someone that they're, you know, obligated to pay. I mean, he can become a free agent at that point. You know, I also kind of want to see them. I mean, this is me, and I know some people aren't going to agree with it, but. You got to find some way to get Bruce Chen away. I think it's the clock has struck midnight, and he's not going to improve. He didn't have a lot of upside to begin with.
Put him back in the bullpen.
Just boosting well. They could do that, but then you're paying $5 million for that guy to be a left-handed reliever, and
I'd hold on to Hochever first over Bruce Chen if we're moving one of them to the bullpen and letting the other one go. But I'd take Hochever and I'd put him in there because, you know, I think Hochever could have a little bit more value in the bullpen than he does as a starter. But I don't know that Bruce Chen gives you any more value on this pitching staff, no matter what role he's in, than what he's in now.
KC's still in Miami. I love it. K-State, I hate Miami. Being a Nebraska fan, I hate the Hurricanes so much. And KSU just scored again. It's 14-0. Kansas State over Miami right now. It's awesome. On that note, though, on Hochaver going to the bullpen, that's what I wanted this year. That's why I wanted them to go out and try to get another starter, because I wanted Hochaver in the bullpen this year so you could see if he was worth keeping around in that bullpen spot. You're already paying Chen $6 million. If you put him in the pen, $6 million for a reliever isn't insane. $6 million for a bad reliever is, and he may be a bad reliever. If he's a good reliever, then he's worth the $6
million. Is it $6 million?
I think it was 2 years, $9 million when he signed last year.
Yeah.
I think it's $4.5 million both years.
Oh, so
Francoeur's getting $6 million next year.
Well, either way.
He is less value than both of them.
So $4.5 million, he's not that out of the range of a reliever. Now, can you get a reliever for $500,000 and be just as good off? Yes, the Royals are loaded with them. But the problem is you have him now, and you need to do something with him. You need to go out and get starters that are worth a crap, and Chen needs to be in your bullpen. If you, for some reason, wanted to keep Hochaver, or if you re-sign him at a lower amount into the bullpen, he goes, those guys are not starters. They're not starters on a good team. They're not starters on a bad team. They're definitely not starters on the Royals. Continuing on, I'm going to jump over one note we have on our sheet here, which is the Rule 5. We're going to come back to that. I want to talk about, staying on pitching, I want to talk about Jeremy Guthrie. He gave out some tickets to whoever came up with the best story, and he awarded him himself out in front of the K. Pretty cool thing. Definitely a guy that I want to re-sign if the price is right. I don't want to see the Royals pay $10 million a year for him. What is the price that you pay and how many years to keep Jeremy Guthrie in Kansas City, and why? Because there's a lot of fans out there that don't believe Guthrie can do what he's doing.
Well, I think he's done really well this year, at least with the Royals. And in the past, he has been a guy who, you know, when he was with Baltimore, he would go out there and give him 200 innings, you know, a couple of seasons where his ERA was under 4. You know, I think that's kind of what you're looking at, is a guy who can be kind of what a typical number 3 guy would be. For me, he's getting older. This is a short stint with the Royals. I mean, we're talking about 9 starts with Kansas City. You know, anybody can put 9 good starts together. You know, it just depends. Luke Hochaver put out a good second half last year. That was easily more than 9 starts. With Guthrie, though, I do think he could still have success. I don't think he's going to be, you know, the guy going out there and throwing 8 no-hit innings. I think it's going to be, you know, 1 year for me, $6 million, $5 million, give him an option for the second one and throw in incentives. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but the Royals don't need to get into a bidding war over Jeremy Guthrie. If it gets into that $10 million a year range, yeah, I don't know if a guy who's going to be 34 is a guy you want to go after for that amount of money.
But haven't we seen with Guthrie in the past that outside of Colorado, he's been a pretty good pitcher? Not just to the 9 starts in Kansas City, but his road starts with Colorado were pretty good. His time in Baltimore wasn't bad. And then as you get into his more prime years, he was a pretty good pitcher all the way around. I really think it takes 2 years to keep him, and I'm in the same financial area that you are, about $6 million a year. Once you get up into the 9 or 10, I just think it's too much. Jeff, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think just looking at his numbers from when he was with Baltimore, I definitely think he's a capable guy. And like Mike said, he's getting older, so that has to be taken into consideration. But I also think that I was thinking probably around $7 million for next year. Not to necessarily say that that's what I would want to pay or would offer, but that's probably what it would take. And I think the Royals could justify that. I think if you really, really like him and you're the Royals and you think, man, he's really going to explode next year and he's going to turn it around, which you know the Royals are thinking, then you might push it to $8 million. But, yeah, once you get over that, I mean, peace out. Let him go. Like, he hasn't shown, even in his best, you know, I don't think that he showed enough to warrant that $10 million a year range, especially if you're talking multiple years. So, you know, I mean, the Royals might be able to snag somewhat of a deal if, you know, everyone's offered him 1-year contracts and the Royals come in and say, well, they're offering you $8 million, but we'll give you 2 years and we'll guarantee you $6 million each year. You know, maybe they get a little bit of a bargain and they take a little chance, you know, and that's the, what do they call it? The small market,
the hometown discount,
you know, small market premium kind of rolled into one there. And it just, you know, I think honestly, my fear of what's going to happen is that the Royals are going to roll the dice on Guthrie and they're going to send him a 2-year contract. They're going to pay him $7 or $8 million a year for both those years. And then they're going to say, hey, you know, that's what it was. Look at how good he was last year. I mean, his ERA right now with the Royals is 3.7 in 9 starts. So, I mean, they're going to be like, oh, he was so good for us in the second half of the year. You know, he's back in the American League. This is going to be great. We're going to sign him next year. He's going to be our opening day starter, and everything's going to be fantastic. And, I mean, it just has Dayton Moore written all over it. And yeah. It's one of those things where I'm not comfortable if that's just all that the Royals do. You know, they'll probably make a cursory attempt at a couple other starters, but that's just my fear of what's going to happen. You know, I want them to sign him again for another year, and then I want them to go after somebody else, whether it's a Sean Markham or whether it's Anibal Sanchez or somebody. They've got to go somebody that cannot just make a move like that and try and convince us that it's going to solve all their problems, because it won't.
This is a conversation for another day, but boy, Anibal Sanchez has just fallen apart.
He really has, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He just looks awful. You know, we are Royals fans, and we're forever in pain. And one thing that we have to live with is that our team makes decisions based on how much money is going to be available in the long run. And so, without a doubt, that is why Will Myers is in the minor leagues. And since, Mike, you're always really good at explaining things, Will Myers doesn't have to be added to the 40-man. Kind of talk about that and why that could prevent him from even making the opening day roster next year.
Well, I think it means more for being added at this point and during the off season than it does going into next season and opening day. But the Rule 5 draft is going to be at the winter meetings, which is usually in the middle of December. And the Rule 5 draft is an opportunity for teams to select players. It's designed so that teams can't just stash players for year after year and keep them, you know, from reaching the major league team and keeping them from other teams. And so, you know, you have to protect once a player has let me get the full rule here. Players are eligible for the Rule 5 draft if they are not on their major league organization's 40-man roster and were signed at age 19 or older and have been in the organization for 4 years, or if they were signed at age 18 or younger and have been in the organization for 5 years. In the case of Myers, he was signed in 2009. He signed at 18, so he doesn't have to be there yet. He doesn't have to be added to the 40-man yet, so they don't have to protect him. But if you don't protect those players, a team can select them and have the rights to them. They do have to keep them on their roster for the full major league season. Like Nate Adcock is a good example of that, where, you know, the Royals kind of hit him in the back of the bullpen for a lot last year. But he was available because the Pirates didn't protect him. They didn't add him to the 40-man roster. So some of the guys that they're looking to keep are guys like Mike Montgomery, John Lamb, other guys from the 2008 draft like Tim Melville, Tyler Sample. Those guys were, you know, pretty significant high school pitchers. And when the Royals took them, it looked like, you know, that was part of their original push to pay out big bonuses and get these guys who could have been, you know, borderline first-round talents and get them in the third and fourth round because people passed on them. So, you know, you definitely want to protect those guys. And the reason they're not putting Will Myers on the 40-man roster now is because that's one more spot. They don't have to do it. They don't have to protect him yet. And so they're going to have this crunch where, you know, they could have 7 or 8 guys that they want to protect that they don't necessarily get the chance to. Guys like Chris Dwyer has to be protected. Jake Odorizzi's going to be somebody who will be added, so he's not eligible for that draft. J.C. Solbaron, the guy we got from the Reds, he's got to go on the 40-man. You know, there's even guys like Robinson Yambati, you know, who we've talked about a lot. Ray Navarro, who's had a good year. Sugar Ray Merriman. All those guys, they have to be protected or other teams can go out and get them. So the Royals aren't going to put Will Myers on the 40-man roster because they don't have to. They just don't have to. Now, once we get into spring training, at that point, things can change. If they want to open the year, they can put him on the 40-man roster, put them on the active roster, and open 2013 with them. They're probably not, because by doing that, they would – a player has 6 years of team control that the team has their rights. And typically 1 year of service time is considered 172 days. So the major league season is usually somewhere between like 183 days and 187 days or something. So that's why a lot of times you'll see guys come up in early May and they play the rest of that season, and then they have still six full seasons before their service time has expired. And you'll see that with Eric Hosmer. The Royals, by waiting a month, they were able to keep him an extra year of service time. The other consideration, because they brought him up in early May, he's probably going to have enough service time to qualify for Super 2, which gets him an extra year of arbitration, and that's something that the players' union really likes, because you know they don't want people to just call him up after 2 weeks and the service time question's out. And then they stash them and they pay them that full season at the league minimum and then the next three, and then they finally have their last three seasons of arbitration. So there's a lot involved in that Will Myers discussion. You kind of wish that it would just be based on performance, but some of the logistical things are there. If they put Will Myers on, maybe that means that they can't keep Yambati, or they can't keep Tim Melville. And even though those guys haven't done a lot in the minors, you still want to have them because there's talent there. So, you know, it's just one of those weird things. A lot of rules, a lot of things involved. That's how you get Will Myers as your minor league player of the year, playing in Omaha in September. So,
and I have a couple things to add to that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, too, but we kind of, as a kind of a checks and balance type of thing, if you will, to keep a bunch of teams from just growing and going and saying, hey, the Royals have these five players that aren't on their 40-man that we want to take in our Rule 5. If you take a player in your Rule 5, then I believe you have to keep him on your Major League roster for that entire next year, and then, which is why, yep, Nate Adcock was on the Major League roster for all of last year. And then if at any point you bump them down from the majors to the minors, which you can do, then the team that you claim them from, I believe, has the right to then try and claim them back.
Only the first year.
They have to offer them back.
Only in the first year of the Rule 5 draft. After that first year, they can go up and down just like normal, mm-hmm, according to their contract. But in that first year when you select them for Rule 5, yeah, that's how it goes.
They'd have to be offered back to the team, and they can work out trades, and that happens a lot too, where there's different fees. And, you know, it's fairly rare that a player will actually stay on that on the 40-man roster for a full season, and it's usually pitchers because you can put them in the bullpen. It's pretty rare to see an everyday player, like a position player, get picked in the Rule 5 draft and stay there. I mean, it happens. Josh Hamilton was, I believe, and there are other examples, but it's usually a pitcher.
And also, it'll be interesting to note, I'm going to hop right back on my my long toss soapbox here, but it'll be interesting to see a lot of those guys that you mentioned that have to be protected, Mike, Tim Melville, Tyler Sample, Mike Montgomery, Chris Dwyer. A lot of those guys are long toss guys, and I'd be curious to see how many teams think that the Royals and their path pitching, mm-hmm, philosophies were problems of their development. And so if you see a team like Texas Rangers or the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or the Arizona Diamondbacks or somebody who has a little bit different philosophy with that kind of stuff, maybe they run out there and say, hey, we'll take Tim Melville and Tyler Sample, and we think we can make something of these guys. Whereas the Royals, it's just,
couldn't do it.
Couldn't turn them into anything worth anything, which they haven't been able to do. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do think it'll be interesting to see if some of those teams maybe think, you know, then that'll also be a good gauge to say, hey, does the rest of the league also think that the Royals, they think the way we do, that they think the Royals have a problem developing talent. And if they, we have two or three players, two or three of those type of guys that are picked in the Rule 5 draft by other teams, and whether they go to be successful or not, I think would kind of show maybe some other teams think a little bit more along the lines of we do as opposed to the Royals, and that, hey, they can't develop talent, but we can, so we're going to take these guys and make them something the Royals could.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this 40-man. Of course, the Royals did pick up Joaquin Soria through the 40-man, a big part of the Royals for a couple of years, and we'll see if he's back next year. Mike, one last question on this. How does it affect Hochaver, who's going to be up for arbitration? Does he have to be considered part of the 40-man until the arbitration process is finished? Or if they don't offer him arbitration, does he immediately go off the 40-man? Would that happen in time to open up a needed spot?
Yeah, they usually will tender the contracts around, I think it's late October, somewhere in November. So they'll go into that point where, you know, they know beforehand who they've tendered contracts to. So if they tender the contract to a player, you know, they still have up until, I think, the end of February to work out a deal or go to an arbitration hearing. But at that point, they're still on the 40-man roster, so they still count. If they don't tender them a contract, though, I mean, they become free agent, basically. They drop off of the roster, and there's somebody that they don't have to worry about. You've seen that happens a lot, actually. Like a couple years ago, Brian Anderson was eligible for arbitration. They didn't offer him a contract. You know, he goes off, and they have an extra spot.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up. September is AL Central month with the White Sox right now. Then we go to the Twins, who own the Royals. And then we take a trip out west quick for the Angels before coming back to play the Indians, Tigers, Indians, and Tigers, all to wrap up the month. And then the season ends October 3rd home with a series against the Tigers, I do believe. So be out there. I'm gonna look through my books and see what all I have for tickets and stuff, and I'm going to try to have a Royal Man Report party the Saturday, October 2nd, out at the K. I'm going to have a bunch of free tickets for our listeners. So we'll get it all figured out. Maybe I can trade some people tickets for some food and space, and we'll do a big barbecue or something. So I think on that note, any closing words, Jeff?
I know. I think we've covered most of all the happenings.
All right, Mike. Does Washington stay here today, Mike?
No.
No
way. We're going undefeated.
KU's going undefeated. So
Rice
they
does
can
not beat Rice.
It'll be interesting. It's another September in Kansas City. Hopefully we can, you know, big hopes for the Chiefs, low hopes for the Royals. Hopefully the Royals can finish out strong, and that'll be that. But for Jeff Herr and Michael Engel, I am Troy Olson, and this is the Kansas City Baseball Ball. We'll catch you next week. Go drink at Kelly's. Go Royals.